wait. Did you see Die Hard in that clip? I did too. Last year, there was a challenge that either me or Brian would preach a Christmas message on Die Hard. Die Hard is a Christmas movie, and that's going to happen, so you won't want to miss that. But, man, this is one of the best series we do all year. It's going to be a lot of fun. But, my goodness, what a day. How about God moving through your hearts in this 10X push? Man, I am so excited about that. And I just want to say this. I want to just emphasize what you've heard already, which is get started. There is something powerful about not just making the commitment, but stepping into that commitment. It could be a big amount, it could be a small amount, but get started. There is a powerful thing that happens there. So what I want to do for just a few minutes is just add encouragement to what has already been an amazing day for all of us. So let me pray. God, I just pray that You would encourage our hearts as we step into this next phase of the push. God, You have led many people in here on a spiritual journey, and You have led many people in here to make a financial commitment. And God, as I think about what comes next, God, I just believe that there's truth and guidance and encouragement You want to give all of us. Maybe some of us just are coming for the first time today to Crossroads. And I believe this message, God, that You want to share is as applicable as if they had been here for the last 6 or 7 weeks or the last 6 or 7 years. So God, would You speak? Would You encourage our hearts today? And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Our heart with the push has been about awakening. That's what we want to see. We want to see God bring literally hundreds of thousands of people into a saving relationship with Jesus. And as their lives are changed, we believe that can change the world. And that's what we've been praying for. And so we've been praying big and impossible prayers. We put these impossible headlines out. If you were working through the guide, we had these impossible headlines of what we said, man, this doesn't seem possible, but God can do it. We put everything on the table. One of the things we did was just say, God, everything is Yours, and we want to hear from You. Some of us did some hard math and calculated and said, hey, this is what I feel like God is calling us to. And I know that many of us experience God. We experience the presence of God. I believe that the seeds of an awakening, we can't make an awakening happen. We can't engineer an awakening. But I believe that God has already put those seeds in many of our hearts. And this is what I also know. I know because I've been a part of campaigns for the last several years of me being a part of Crossroads, in the last 20 years of me being a part of Crossroads. And here's what I know. I got a great question at one of the mission briefings. So if you were around, one of the things we offered is an opportunity to get in a smaller context and hear about those four territories, that list of things, as we were kind of on this journey together. And one of the best questions I got at a mission briefing came from someone who, like me, had been a part of campaigns before. And they said this. They said, Chuck, I'm excited about this. I've been here before. I've been on this journey. I've done and made a commitment. And I remember the power of that number reveal. They actually talked about what we've experienced today. And then their question was this: but what are we going to do for people 6 months later? Or 9 months later? Or 18 months later, because there is this mountaintop experience, the celebration, look at what we've committed, it's awesome. And then there's the reality that sets in. And I said, that's a really good question. That's a really good question, because some of us, the only Christmas at the movies we're gonna experience is in here because we gave up Netflix for 3 years. Some of us, our travel plans are going to look different than they even looked 6 weeks ago because of where the Spirit is leading us. Some of us won't have all of the assets to fall back on that we had before this commitment. And the question is, what happens then? What happens as we follow through on that commitment? One of the things you can see is we've been borrowing from NASA and the story of the moonshot. And one of the astronauts that was a part of the Apollo 11 mission, Buzz Aldrin, had an interesting story. And I want to just put ourselves in that space of Buzz Aldrin. So imagine this, folks. Imagine that some time ago, let's say a month ago, you landed on the moon. But today, you're standing in line at Kroger to buy eggs. It's a little bit of a disconnect, right? And so Buzz Aldrin honestly tells the story about how he was not prepared for what came after the moon. And when he came back home, I think he traveled to like 45 countries in the first 26 days. Because this was a global phenomenon and everybody was excited. But at some point, all of that buzz went away and he found himself in Kroger buying eggs. And he really struggled. He struggled to adjust to the normalcy of life again. And in fact, it cost him his marriage. It cost him his psychological security. He was really struggling. And one of the things that he eventually concluded is this, that he had experienced the melancholy of things done. That after the moon, after the high thing, there's a melancholy that sets in because life just gets back to normal. And here's what I know. I know that most of our life with God is not going to be experienced on the mountaintop. That most of our life with God is the melancholy of things done. It's what one pastor called a long obedience in the same direction. Now, I think that there are things built into the rhythm of God's church that help us to deal with what happens when we come off of the mountaintop. One of the things that is a part of church tradition and has been for many, many centuries, honestly, is something called the church calendar. So there is a rhythm to the annual calendar of the church. And some of us may have grown up in more liturgical churches or churches that follow the church calendar. Here's a pie chart that just breaks down the church calendar. So just to give you a sense of where we are, we're actually stepping into Advent. Advent is the time when we anticipate Christmas. And so that actually starts next week. And then from Advent, we move into Christmas. Everybody's heard of Christmas. Everybody's excited about Christmas, all that. We know that, right? And then after Christmas, you kind of move to Lent. And Lent is the place where we're kind of anticipating Easter. And then, of course, there's Eastertide, it's called, because Easter in the church calendar isn't just one day, but it actually is a season that the church steps into together. But I want you to notice that the vast majority of the church calendar is that blue thing right there on my left. Do you know what that's called? Do you know what that section of the church calendar is called? Ordinary time. It's called ordinary time. It's called ordinary time because most of the year, and hey, most of your walk with Jesus is going to be spent in ordinary time. And in ordinary time, we have a choice because all of these other experiences are like mountaintop experiences, but we have a choice. See, here's the thing. A spiritual awakening is exciting. And what God has done in the last 7 weeks in our church is exciting. But those things are temporary experiences of the richness of the Spirit of God. It doesn't, though, have to lead to a rut. See, I think we have two choices. When you come down off the mountaintop, choice number one is you go from the mountaintop into a rut. But there's a different story you can live if you're willing to lean into relationships and healthy rhythms of receiving, relationships, and rejoicing. Let me see if that changes. There you go. Now, don't adjust your television. There's a reason why that's in Spanish. Because one of the things that God has called us to do and we're going to be able to do is have Crossroads Español in every location of Crossroads so that we can be one with our neighbors who speak Spanish. I'm excited about that. And so one of the things I want to do is to my Spanish brothers and sisters, I want to just get into a rhythm of that main point of my message. I want to say it in Spanish. So para permanecer en una vida plena, debemos establecer ritmos de recibimiento, relaciones y regocijo. And for my Spanish brothers and sisters, that is not AI, that was me speaking. So that's why it didn't sound so good. And here's the thing, today I'm just gonna talk for a few minutes. I wanna talk about what does it mean to practice receiving in ordinary time? What does it mean to lean into relationships in ordinary time? And then that last point around rejoicing in ordinary time, that's when you all get to be preachers and teachers. You're gonna help me with that third point. So I want you to take out your phone if you didn't already when you were instructed to do so. And I want you to text a story of gratitude to 301-301. What is something God has done in your life that you're thankful for, that you're rejoicing about? It may be a couple sentences, you may have something longer than that. I want you to share that, and later on, we're gonna get to celebrate that. So let me root these in a scripture. This is one of those scriptures that if somebody's new to following Jesus, it's one of those scriptures that I will point them to help them understand the normal arc of following Jesus. It comes from the book of Colossians, which is a letter to a small church. And it says this in Colossians 2, 6 through 7. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus, everybody say received. So as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. So what you see here is that the normal arc of a Christian life, I believe the normal arc of how we lean into ordinary time and have rhythms are that we have rhythms of receiving, relationship, and rejoicing. Let's talk a bit about receiving. You know, one of the things that makes following Jesus different than other religions is this. Every other religion has a formula that goes like this. You do good things and you get a good relationship with a higher power. Every other religion says that. Every other religion has a path, these works, these things you have to do, and that is how you get to relationship with your higher power. But Jesus flips that script. And in following Jesus, it isn't about the good things that we do that get us to relationship with God. It's about the good things Jesus did for us that we receive, as it says in this verse. And out of receiving, we grow in our relationship with God. So if you want to think about it this way, your role in following God is to be a good receiver. And God's role is to root you and to strengthen you and to build you up so that you overflow with thanksgiving. So when I think about being a good receiver, I think about a bucket list location that I have not been to yet. I'm sure many of you have. And that is, I really want to see the sequoia trees in California. They are just breathtaking, breathtaking to see these. And what does it take to be a really tall sequoia? They have to be a good receiver. All that tree does to grow is get really good at receiving nutrients from the soil in the ground through its root system. And all that tree does to be an amazing, amazing feat of nature is they receive the light energy from the sun that enables them to grow. Sequoias are good receivers. How good of a receiver are you? See, because if on one hand we're talking about being receivers, I think the other extreme is being a doer. And there's a difference between a doer and a receiver. So I'm going to give you a couple questions that will help you to maybe just assess a little bit if you're more on the doer side or more on the receiving side. Here's question number one. Is it easier for you to volunteer at church or to spend time with God? Doers are really good at doing things. But what it takes to receive is to spend time with God and allow him to shape and form you. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with volunteering, but which side is easier for you? That might give you a sense of whether you're a doer or a receiver. Here's the second question. Are you able to take a compliment, or do you push back when people thank or encourage you? Seriously, like somebody comes up to you and says, hey, thank you for what you did. Are you a person who can simply just say thank you? Or are you a person that's like, no, this person, it was that person. And you really have a hard time taking a compliment. Doers have a hard time receiving compliments. But receivers know how to say two magic words. Thank you. Let's just say that together. Let's just practice that. So I'm gonna encourage you right now. I wanna encourage you because you showed up today. There you go, there you go. So you're growing in your ability to be a receiver right now. Here's another question. Do you feel like it all rides on you in life, or do you leave space for God to work? Doers think it all falls on them. Let me tell you something. Many of us who've made commitments, hopefully you know, it does not all fall on you. We serve a God who is generous to you, even as you are generous to others. And so are you gonna leave space for God to work, or are you gonna try to just muscle up and tough it through? I wanna encourage you to be a receiver even in how you follow up on your commitment. So I wanna just give you some thoughts on how do you receive? How do you get good at receiving? Well, number one, spend time with God. Spend time with God, whether it was the guide or the Crossroads app. Many of us, the reason that the last 6 weeks have been so powerful is you prioritized being here. You prioritize spending time with God. And I want to just encourage you, don't stop doing that. Crossroads app is an easy way for you to read scripture every day, to pray every day, to practice gratitude every day. I want to encourage you to prioritize being a good receiver by spending time with God. And here's the other thing. Give yourself grace. I think part of being a good receiver is giving yourself grace, recognizing that, man, you're not always going to get it right. And as you come into the holidays with the commitments that you've made, there are gonna be some choices that might be a little bit painful. And you might be pouting some days about the commitment that you made. Give yourself grace. That's what good receivers do. So in ordinary time, I wanna encourage us to allow ourselves to be good receivers. Now, you know, as God often does, he tests me on something I'm about to say to make sure I believe it. And that literally happened today. So I was someplace and I was grabbing a meal. And I was in line to get the meal, And the owner of the place recognized me and said, hey, I want to tell you how my life has been impacted by Crossroads. And him and his wife have been coming, and he just talked about how it's been a blessing for them and their family. He says, so whatever you want today, it's on me. And I want to tell you, my initial response was to do the noble thing. You'd be like, oh, no, 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 no. You're a business owner. I want to support your business. No, 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 no. And honestly, there was a part of me that felt like, well, that's the right thing to do, right? No, you know what I did? I said, thank you. And I received that. Listen, I believe that God is going to be generous to you in some ways. And I want to encourage you, don't turn that away. When God shows up in that way, just say and receive what he has for you. So as we lean into ordinary time, let's be good receivers. The second thing is lean into relationships. Notice again in Colossians 2, 6 through 7, it says, do this just as you were taught. Now here's the thing, teaching happens in the context of relationships. It assumes relationships. There's an African proverb that puts it this way. If you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. And what God is calling us to in 10X Push, and what he's calling us to as we pray and say, God, we want to be people with whom you could work to bring an awakening into our country, into this world. We need to go far, but the way to do that is to go together. To go together. Relationships are key. I'm going to go back to that image of the sequoia trees. They're massive. They're super tall. Their trunks are unbelievable. You see, for perspective, we got a guy there just to show you how tall and massive these trees are. So you might think that because they're so big and massive, their root system must be huge. That if you could dig into the ground and the root system of the sequoia, you would actually be able to walk through their roots like you can see people walking through like a big pipe, right? You would imagine that to be true, but that's not the case. Actually, given their size, their root system is actually relatively small. But here's why. Because what they've learned about sequoias is they know how to operate as one organism with each other. They do something called root grafting. And what that means is at the root level, they are able to lend energy to each other when they need it. They are able to lend water to each other when they need it. There's a song that we sung in my gospel church that says, I need you to survive. And sequoia trees grow tall because they've understood that they need each other to survive. Friends, let me tell you, for where God is taking our church, you have got to be grafted in relationally. You've got to have some roots. And so I want to encourage you to prioritize relationships. Look at what it says in Hebrews 10:24. It says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Not neglecting meeting together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Hey, listen, I know groups were optional for those of us who went through the push, but some of us got in a group. And I've heard stories about how some of those groups helped people navigate some of the tension they were experiencing. You know what I also have heard? I've heard of roommates who said, hey, we're in this together. We go to the same church. And there were conversations that were had about money that were new conversations for those roommates to have. And through that, God did something in their relationship. I know this because this was true for me. I know that for my wife and I, we had some conversations because of the push that took us to deeper places with God and with each other. In fact, one of the things that was so cool for me is last Sunday, we were at the 11:45 service. We were up in the second balcony, and we came with our kids. Because the last time we had a commitment like this, our kids were too young to understand it. But now they're 16, 13, and 10, and they understand it. And so we did some things as a family, that table exercise. We did that as a family, and we actually kept it on our little table for many days so we could just continue to pray about it and reflect on it. And so one of the cool things for us was last Sunday when we made that commitment, it wasn't me nor was it my wife who wrote our commitment card out. It was my son, my 13-year-old son. And we came up here as a family. If you heard the 11:45, you might have seen us. We came up as a family and we dropped that card in there together. So I want to encourage you, if you're doing something or did something that helps spur you on to loving good deeds, stay connected and continue to prioritize relationships. In ordinary time, let's spur one another on to loving good deeds. So in ordinary time, we want to be good receivers. In ordinary time, we want to spur one another on to good deeds. One other thing, we want to rejoice. I love that this verse ends with being overflowing with thankfulness. I say this every year, and I think it's more and more true every year. I believe the most important holiday we need as Americans is happening next Thursday. I believe that Thanksgiving helps us to detach from the materialistic world that we live in and step back and be thankful for the ways that God has shown up. I think there's something powerful about the fact that all we celebrate Thanksgiving to do is to be together with people we love and care about. We need that more now than ever before. I believe Thanksgiving is a healthy and good spiritual discipline for us as a country. That's why one of the things that my family is doing is we're gonna be at the Thanksgiving Eve service that's happening here in Oakley. I know it's happening at other locations of Crossroads. We're gonna be here because it's a discipline and it's a practice. And is it the best time to come at 7 p.m. on a Wednesday and spend a couple hours in the evening doing that when you got all kinds of things you're cooking and trying to get done? No, it may not be the most convenient time, but we need it. And when I say we need it, I'm talking about the Mingo family, but I would actually extend that and say, I think you need it too. The practice of Thanksgiving is so powerful. So again, that's why in a couple minutes, I'm hoping that you got a chance to go to 301-301 and share a story, because we're gonna get to spur one another on to loving good deeds. We're gonna get to hear and rejoice together at what God is doing, because there's so much evidence that gratitude impacts health and longevity. You probably heard this, but gratitude improves your emotional and social well-being. They've proven that gratitude leads to better sleep quality. Who would like more sleep and better sleep? Amen, somebody. Yes, me too. It lowers depression risks. It has favorable markers on cardiovascular disease, and there's actually a study that has demonstrated that gratitude actually helps women live longer. I'm telling you, God knew what he was doing when he said that one of the ways that you continue to thrive and don't fall into a spiritual rut is you practice the rhythm of rejoicing. And so I want us to do that right now. How many people would love to practice this together right now? Well, I hope so, because that's what we're about to do. So I'm looking at my phone here, or my iPad, because there's some stories that have been coming in. And I want to have the opportunity to share some of these moments with you, and then we're going to sing together as a church. We're going to have a chance to be thankful. We're going to have a chance to rejoice and just remember all that God has done for us. Because friends, let me tell you, what is happening at Crossroads is not normal. This is not normal. It is not normal. And here's the beautiful thing. Because it's not normal, there are going to be hundreds of girls in Nepal who will be rescued from trafficking and live a free life. Because this is not normal. Because this is not normal, there are going to be inmates in every prison in America that feel like they've been forgotten, but they're going to get this device, and on that device, they're going to know there's a church in Cincinnati, Ohio, and Lexington, and Columbus, and Dayton that loves them, that's for them. That's not normal, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Because of that, there are going to be thousands of young people who come to faith in Jesus and get baptized at camps. That's not normal, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And so you know what? We have a lot to be thankful for. And we have a lot to rejoice over. So I just want to read some of these. We got around 200 responses just now from all of you of things to rejoice. I'm just going to read some of these. Somebody said, I'm grateful for my family and my friends. I'm wondering if the second one is from my daughter. It says, my adorable puppy. We don't have one yet, but my it's going to be soon. It's going to be soon. Somebody said, I'm thankful for 3 healthy babies. Somebody said, I'm grateful for the ability to visit family throughout this holiday season. Somebody said, I'm thankful for God's resilience and faithfulness through what has been a hard year. He is good. He is kind. He is so gracious. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Somebody said, I get to see my son who's been away at boot camp training. I've missed him so much. Somebody else said, last year at this time, my wife and I were separated. This year, our relationship is stronger than it has been in almost 20 years, and I am so grateful. We rejoice. We celebrate that. Somebody said, I got a clear brain scan. Can I get an amen on that? Somebody said, I finished cancer treatment on Monday. Praise God for that. How about this one? I'm grateful that my husband survived cancer. Our daughter survived the death of her fiancé and is now married with 2 daughters, our beautiful, healthy granddaughters. Talk about God taking beauty from ashes. Amen. Amen. Man, there's so many of these. There's so many that are good. Let me just read a couple more. Somebody said, I'm thankful my police officer husband is now retired. Praise God for that. And for the protection over a career. I'm thankful that my niece accepted my invitation to come to Crossroads. She's now been coming here for 10 months and joined the 10X push. Praise God for that. God has broken the bond of a generation of addiction with me. Praise the Lord. Praise God. There's so many of these that we can be thankful for. There's so many reminders that all our lives, God has been faithful. And we can sing of the goodness of God. So I'm going to invite you to stand. And it's ordinary time now. It's ordinary time. The push is over. But that doesn't mean that we have to go into a rut. So I want us to link arms in this ordinary time and say, I am going to receive. I am going to connect and have those roots grafted with other people in this community, and I'm gonna rejoice. Because no matter what the time, our God is faithful and our God is good. God, I pray that you would meet us in this moment of rejoicing. And I pray, God, that what we say to you now would simply be a prayer of gratitude for all that you have done and all that you are going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.